Hello and welcome again to another episode in season 5 of Naturally Educated. My name's Tim Elliott and I'm here with my co-host, Abdulrahman Al-Zabi. I hope all's well, Abdulrahman.
Tim, all good, thanks. And it's good to be back in the studio with you again. All is well with you, Tim, I hope?
Yeah, not too bad. Kind of excited today because this is one of those episodes that is... I suppose we're not zeroing in on any one area. We're looking quite broadly at what's going on. And I think, you know, so far this season, it's been pretty good. Great guests, great discussions. We're talking about biodiversity, technology, sustainable practices in restoring degraded ecosystems. I mean, I think we're starting to get to the bottom of a few things.
Indeed. And this episode is no different, Tim. Here's the title. The power of biodiversity in restoring ecosystems.
Power is the word there. And I suppose it's kind of straightforward enough. It's all about the sort of central role that biodiversity plays in ecosystem restoration. Mm-hmm. You know, species, variety, interaction, how healthy ecosystems are more resilient, more adaptable. They can recover from the things that we do, the pollution, the climate change and everything else. And I suppose, you know, human interference from good old you and me, Abdulrahman.
Indeed. It's a massive topic, as is each episode of the season. They are really big themes.
Exactly right. And that's kind of the point, I suppose. I mean, it's the importance of looking after what we have now for the future. And in a nutshell, that's what we're trying to talk about.
You know, it's back again to what has been said time and time again. It sounds simple, but it's actually a lot harder than it seems. Restoring and maintaining ecosystems, it's not an easy job, and there is no quick fix, unfortunately.
Too right. There really is no quick fix. But the thing to remember, I think, is that ultimately it's rewarding, and of course, it's essential too.
It is indeed. And to explain just how essential it is to try to maintain that balance between what we're doing to develop as humans and what Mother Nature needs and deserves, we're pleased that we've managed to book some time with another expert from the Ministry of Climate Change and Environment as well.
He's also our second guest from the ministry this season.
Today, it's the head of the Marine Biodiversity Section at the UAE's Ministry of Climate Change and Environment, Ubaid Shamsi. A warm welcome to Naturally Educated.
Thank you so much, Abdulrahman, and thank you for having me on Natural Education.
Thank you for being here. Ubaid, let's get into it. Tell us more about Ubaid. Where did your journey start, and where are you now in terms of your experience?
Okay, I'm Ubaid Shamsi, the head of Marine Biodiversity Section at the Ministry of Climate Change and Environment. I have been working at the ministry for the last 10 years. My journey started when I was young, running around in a beach in Ajman, enjoying life as a kid. And from there, I developed a passion for nature and for exploration. Following that, I have studied ecology and environmental science at UAE University in Al Ain. And there, once I graduated, I joined the ministry directly. And luckily, I found myself in a junction where I'm connecting science with policy. And that's where my main work is. So I work mainly in connecting whatever I have learned during my process and during my education with basically the reality today and how we can improve it and how can we work on it as a government and as a community in general.
Ubaid, do you mind if we get a little bit more about your day-to-day activities? You're the head of the Marine Biodiversity Section at the ministry. Is it even possible to tell us what an average day looks like in your role?
It always starts with coffee. And then, so basically, as I mentioned, my work is connecting science to policy. So I would usually from day to day, or I would skip a day to be honest, look into science and what is the latest news related to biodiversity, and then get to work, do my task, understand more about the challenges that our stakeholders might have or whatever request is coming from an international organization to the UAE, and then work around it and see how we can resolve it and frame it in UAE perspective or point of view, and to make sure that whatever we are doing day to day is not just Bade is doing it, or Abdurrahman or Tim is doing it. It's a group work or a teamwork that we are all doing to ensure that we are putting the community and UAE first when it comes to biodiversity, nature, etc.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a very interesting setup, to be honest. Way more interesting than my day. you know, the fact that you get to have this wide perspective that you need to take into account so many inputs from different stakeholders, as you mentioned. You know, we would like to get into today's topic, which is the power of biodiversity in restoring ecosystems. How do you feel, and what's the very first thing that comes to mind when you hear that sentence?
It's really interesting to see, to hear the word power and biodiversity together, because often you don't think of biodiversity as something powerful. But when you see nature or natural disasters around you, you realize biodiversity is actually powerful. And when you study it and learn about the services it provides, it's actually also powerful. So for me, as someone who works on biodiversity, it's very empowering to hear that sentence. But also it gives us a sort of responsibility in making sure that power is channeled the right way for our community, our people in the UAE and globally as well, and to make sure that this power is always on our side, not against us.
Biodiversity-driven ecosystem restoration, Obaid, it's the smart thing to do, isn't it? Because if we, it supports ecological balance, enhances human well-being, and it's the way of contributing to a sustainable future for us and for nature. And, you know, that we have to find that balance. It's kind of a win-win, but it's not easy. What would you say if I said to you, how do we balance, you know, moving forward, progressing, doing the best for ourselves, but also developing, you know, doing the best for the nature around us?
That's a very interesting question, Tim. So biodiversity in its sense and ecosystems in general, they are always have been presented in balance. And they have always been working together and hand in hand as a big network that is always runs together and makes sure that it provides its services and its role in the world. And when the human came, and especially in the last 100 years or so, we started our evolution industrial revolution, we started to taking more from Earth resources than we need, or its ability to recover those resources. And that's where the balance got
unbalanced,
basically. Mm-hmm. Now, today, we are facing, there is more than 1 million species facing extinction, and more than 65% of world resources have been depleted, and we're facing basically a catastrophe globally. But that does not mean that everything is bleak and the future is definitely ruined. With nature and biodiversity, as we said, there is power, and its power is its own self-regeneration. So if we let it breathe and relax a little bit, it will recover itself. And that was very evident during COVID-19 times, where nature, especially here in the UAE, we started nature actually thriving, seeing it thriving and coming into our cities rather than us going out to it. So if that says anything, it says that nature is eager to recover itself and also to be integrated into our life-to-life activities. And we have the chance at this point in time to actually bring biodiversity into our day-to-day activities. because restoration is not something that is done by scientists, for example, or done by conservationists. Restoration is something that is nature is doing in collaboration with communities and everyone around it. So in UAE, it's not just scientists who's working on it or policymakers. It's actually everyone is doing their role when it comes to biodiversity conservation and restoration.
Yeah, it's sort of nature, as you said, is trying to do the balance. We just need to meet it halfway, sort of. And speaking of which, let's consider what's actually being done to enhance ecosystem resilience, boost greater stability, and work against climate change. So from your perspective, what kinds of measures would you like to highlight?
There is lots that is happening in UAE. And for a country that often thought of as desert country, that is industrial, that is metropolitan, we have rich nature, which is something that is always in our international participation. We always have to highlight and always shine the light on those unique species and biodiversity that we have in the country. Just because we are metropolitan or we're a global leader in trade or etc., that does not mean that our nature is not valuable. And the fact that is it's very scarce makes it even more valuable than other countries or other areas in the world. For example, our mangroves, which is just off the shores here in Abu Dhabi, is restored 4 to 5 times more carbon than tropical forests. So these are more valuable to conserve. There is an argument here that it's more valuable to conserve than other areas or other forests that might be not facing as many challenges as those mangroves in the country. So there is lots of measurement and lots of work that is happening in the UAE. And I think one of the main things is that we are aligning our national policies with international regulations and international strategies. So our National Biodiversity Strategy 2031 is well aligned with the Global Biodiversity Framework. And we are also doing lots of science-based restoration efforts in the UAE within the local authorities and within the NGOs and universities as well. We are all working together to ensure that is our biodiversity and nature is understood, first of all. And second of all is we are actively working into restoring it before anything that bad can happen to it. And third of all, we are also in the UAE sharing our experiences with other countries and our regions, showing them that is a country with such scarce resources can always move the science further when it comes to nature and understanding nature and implementing conservation within its borders.
I think that's a really good point to make. And I also think the fact that we have in the UAE a Ministry of Climate Change and Environment kind of bears out that kind of the thinking that it's the policy aligning the nation with international goals. From a more personal perspective, the kind of you and me perspective, Abaid, what can we all do? And I know this, again, is a really broad question, but what should we all be doing to enhance ecosystem resilience, to be better? What would you, if I asked you very directly, as a guy from the Ministry of Climate Change and Environment, what would you like to see more of us doing?
Let's think of biodiversity as a carpet. And okay, if I removed a thread and Abdurrahman removed one and you, Tim, removed one, and 50 or 67 other guys removed one, then the pattern will disappear and basically wouldn't be the same as it is. Although when you think of it, I started it with removing just one thread. And so is nature and biodiversity. Every one of us have a role to do. And for me, the first thing I would say to anyone when it comes to nature and biodiversity, if you saw an insect walking around you and it's not harming you, this is the first thing you can do, is you don't hit it or kill it just because you're scared of insects. it has a role in the environment, and that's why it's there. So let biodiversity around you, from the smallest size possible to the biggest size you will see, run its course, because it will not affect you unless you started harming it. And another thing is, when you are, for example, going out shopping or doing your daily tasks, basically, always keep in mind that is whatever you're using is just for yourself, not too mm-hmm. much. So you're not taking from others. Nature is a resource. So let's be wise with how we spend our nature. And I think we have already, as a country, the government already provided us with the tools to be environmentally friendly, with the ban on plastics, and our straws are basically cartoon, or mm-hmm. All these mm-hmm. measures that is actually affecting our day-to-day life. So we have enough tools in the UAE as individuals to actually conserve the environment. And I would call everyone, if you are bored and if you had enough of going to the malls, please go to the desert, go to the sea, enjoy nature and enjoy those quiet moments. It will actually make you value the nature more than already, to realize more how nature is valuable, and will give you actually the tools and the meanings you need to basically be environmentally friendly if you were not already.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I appreciate that you highlighted these little things that maybe we didn't think about, and they're right in front of us. Simple things, you know, don't kill the bug or whatever.
Yeah.
And that will have a bigger impact than you think. You know, can we dig a bit deeper and talk about how we restore ecological functions and services overall?
Okay, that's deeper and bigger. How to restore those functions. For example, I would think of a global thing. First of all, I'll give a global example, is if we think of Yellowstone wolves in the United States. So before their reintroduction or restoration, the system was basically depleting in Yellowstone, and they had overgrowth of plants or of flora and harmful flora in the national park, and there was an increase of reindeer populations, and that actually impacted the nature within the national park. And when they reintroduced and restored the wolves in the national park itself, the flora was controlled. And the reindeers and all those species were controlled, so their number were reduced. Therefore, mm-hmm. the flora was controlled, and they were able to maintain a healthy system. This gives us an idea that is, if we store just one species within this vast system and within this vast carpet, if we kept this one thread, it will actually have a role in improving the system. We gave nature an opportunity by restoring this species, and it did its magic, where it's rehabilitated and basically improved itself.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing is here in the UAE. For example, in our mangroves ecosystems. And again, I'll go to mangrove because they are mind-blowing when mm-hmm. it comes to their activities. Mangrove ecosystems, they are very complicated. They are not as simple as you can see a tree in front of you. There is water there. There is salt. There is their roots, which just goes up like a beautiful or a hunting view. There is a species running around it, whether fishes or crustaceans or even bacteria. There is always seasons where it gets really dry and really hot, and some of those species will die or they will stop functioning because it's too hot. And that's where mangroves will take over and provide those services by doing If the bacteria within its system stop doing photosynthesis, mangroves will take over, and they are actually doing the photosynthesis itself, and therefore supporting the system. So ecosystems in general and biodiversity is restoring itself when we leave it be without us disturbing it. Mm-hmm. And there is always an opportunity for us to do so. We develop protected areas. We announce protected areas. And people often think why there is protected areas. It's very beautiful when you see the photos and you see the videos. But people would always want to go in and see those, like, for example, Botina here. It's very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a reason why it's very beautiful, because we left it recover and let it restored without us getting interfered on it. So, yeah, if we let nature by itself, it will restore itself.
Mm-hmm.
Can I keep on the mangroves for a moment, not just to please Abdurrahman, who is a mangrove fan, and I guess you too, Obaid. We speak about mangroves a lot on this podcast, and they really are like a miracle plant. That much is clear. But I wanted to talk to you about pollination and seed dispersal, two really important areas in restoration from an ecosystem perspective. But particularly now, the efforts to plant areas of mangroves in Abu Dhabi with drones. And this is huge areas of mangroves is happening. It's a great example of obviously seed dispersal. That's one, I guess, area that's really growing. But what else is currently happening here in the UAE to bolster those kinds of efforts?
Okay, so one thing that is, as you mentioned, Tim, we're always talking about is mangroves. And us restoring mangroves, the UAE have this 100 million mangroves planted by 2030 goal. And we're well in our way into doing so. But we also are not focusing on our other activities, where we are actually also spreading seeds for native plant species within our deserts. So that is ghaf, cedar, all those plants that is are already being replanted. We are also all restored in a sense, because they are natural national species.
Mm-hmm.
We're also protecting or doing a reintroduction program for our animal species, the Arabian oryx, the marine turtles. In Dubai and Atlantis, they are breeding sharks. So we are doing other activities more than mangrove, which is a very charismatic species, and it's very timely to talk about because it's related to climate change. But since the 60s, we started with Arabian oryx. Sheikh Zayed started with reintroducing Arabian oryx. So we have always, as a nation, been doing our part when it comes to conserving our environment and nature. Not just focusing on a single species, but thinking of it as a whole system and making it or stemming from the idea that is everything is connected. And that is very evident with our leadership since the foundation of the UAE. So I would say that, yes, we are planting mangroves, but also our goal is to have 30% of the country protected by 2030, which is a big international commitment under CBD or the Convention of Biodiversity and UN in general. We are also committed into restoring 80% of our critical habitats in the UAE, and we are working toward that, trying to achieve this, which is very ambitious compared to other efforts globally. So there is lots of work that is happening on the ground, coming from the belief that we can't just focus on one thing, because nature is, as I said, a carpet and a full system that is needs everyone's input and everyone's work to make sure that it thrives and it's able to recover by itself.
Mm-hmm. It's like a mosaic, if you may. You describe it beautifully as a carpet. And, you know, the efforts from governmental bodies like the ministry is just tremendous. Every, you know, you can describe each of these efforts for hours and you will not be done from how much work is being done. you know, one of those threads, if you may, of this carpet is soil health and carbon sequestration. And I'd like to sort of dig deeper into the subject a little bit. So in this season, we've talked about it a lot. Some plants with deeper root systems or trees that grow at different rates can restore some or more carbon than others. They can protect the soil from erosion, which is great, of course, as we know. But of course, some trees can, you know, get their root can get very deep, deeper than expected. And, you know, they get into the water table and upset the balance that we've discussed earlier, which is unfortunately not as good. So it's an area that is being tackled here in the UAE, and we would like to sort of get your explanation on what's being done there.
Okay. Soil by itself, without talking about carbon, is the fundamental block of life. So without soil, there is no plant, there is no animals, there is no microbes, and there is no food, no water, no humans, mm-hmm. basically, without soil. Soil. So we need soil. And when you drive around, for example, in Al Ain or in Marmoum in Dubai, and you see those beautiful sand dunes, and you think they are empty, there is nothing there. It's miles and kilometers of nothingness, which is incorrect. Those dunes are actually, they have a role, which is to stabilize our systems. And for the dunes themselves to be able to be stabilized, there is a network of millions of microbes and species living on it and making sure that it is stable and it's connected and it's basically looking as beautiful as it looks for us. So there is a whole network that is working. Just because we see it empty, that does not mean there is nothing there. And then a second role, or more importantly, what science have discovered recently is carbon stored within the soil ecosystems. So whether desert soil or our coastal or marine soil or marine beds, basically, it stores carbon. And the reason for that is, or the idea behind that is, if we have plants, photosynthesis, they breathe carbon. And they store it in their roots. For example, mangroves mm-hmm. does this, but also microbes do that, and they store it in the soil. Small animals, when they die in the soil, they get deteriorated into carbon and being stored in the soil. So it's very important not to disturb soil, and not to disturb those ecosystems, to make sure that is the carbon is conserved. And the carbon is stored, basically, within those ecosystems. Of course, there is always a technical discussion when it comes to how much carbon is stored and compared to what we are emitting. And also different soil types or different ecosystems have different capabilities of storing carbon. But that's a separate conversation. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to realize that the soil we walk on is actually helping us in mitigating the impacts of climate change and being able to actually, beyond mitigating the impacts of climate change, it's supporting us in our life, on day-to-day life, basically.
Obaid, one of the things I think we're all very aware of now, we live in an increasingly globalized world. We're an international species now, I guess. And it's important to remember that we all generally live locally. And I'm going to highlight what I'm trying to say here to make that clear. It's so important to prevent invasive species and obviously disease. And I know that it's not a huge issue here in the UAE, but it is something, isn't it, that the UAE has faced before. Famously, the red palm weevil, I guess, is something that we've talked about on this podcast. But I guess that the Emirates is well aware of any threats like that.
Okay. First of all, I disagree with you, Tim. It's a huge problem in the UAE.
Okay.
It's invasive species is the main threat that is facing biodiversity globally. It's one of the biggest threats in the world, next to climate change and human-induced factors. In the UAE, we did a project at the ministry a few years back where we studied the variety of alien species, which means basically species that are not local to the country, to determine which one of them started to have a negative impact on humans and on our social, economical benefits, and also have health impact, for example. We came up with a list that have more than 20 species on the nationwide. It's not just at a certain emirates. And that is 20 species that have impact, day-to-day impact on our economy, on our social life, and also in our health as a community. A clear species that you will see everywhere you turn your head to is myna, and you can see them everywhere. They are very smart. They can imitate different species just to get you, like, lure you in with your resources and giving them food and water and et cetera.
Wow.
So these are a main issue for UAE that once we identified them, we also worked on a national action plan that has been implemented since 2022 and aiming to conclude in 2030, where we are combating those species. To make sure that is their impact is controlled and minimized. I think within with COVID, it becomes very evident for everyone that is animals and wildlife have an impact on us as humans, not just because of them attacking us. It's because of the viruses and microbes they bring also. So having a species, an alien species coming to a country where there is no natural predator for it, that will impact you and cost you millions to basically phase and recover. And that's why it's important for people when they have pets and they are already bored of them, not release them in the wild. There is institutes and there is local authorities who can take them and deal with them, whether getting it back to where it comes from or donating it to a zoo, et cetera, but not to reintroduce it into our wild. And then if we don't have a predator for it, it will thrive and start to basically widespread in the UAE. An example of this is a rose ring parakeet, which is very beautiful when you see it outside. It's a green parrot flying around, learning how to talk. But it has also a negative impact competing to other species. So invasive species are actually a big issue within the UAE and a big challenge that is that we are working in finding a way to combat them and control them. And actually we are... internationally or regionally, we are working with GCC countries around us into having a unified list of those invasive species and having those regulation and standards regulation between us to make sure their widespread is controlled. And globally, there is a global recognition under UN that is invasive species is a key threat to biodiversity and that the global community needs to work toward controlling it and combating it and making it less of a trend than it already is.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like such a big task to tackle, especially considering the number of these species that is spread all over the Gulf, I suppose. So, Abid, unfortunately, it's almost it for our conversation today, but we still have a couple more questions. I would like to bring up once again another theme of this season of Naturally Educated, which is ecological restoration and human engagement. So, you know, we all know that the human factor here is the one that needs to kind of contribute more. We have placed an emphasis on the importance of community involvement, and it is important, first of all, in terms of learning from local communities, but also in terms of education. We often hear in this podcast that all education is environmental education. What more, in your opinion, do we need to do and or can we do to make sure that environmental education is learned the right way?
That's very interesting to put it, learn the right way. I think as long as you're learning, you're actually on the right path. For us in the country and as communities, I think even for the humankind, when it comes to biodiversity, we are part of biodiversity. And that's something that we all need to understand and realize. That is, as you said, biodiversity is powerful. And if we did not learn its power, whether it's positive or negative, actually that means we don't understand ourselves mm-hmm. because we are part of this matrix. So I think it starts from home when we are young. The young parents needs to teach their kids, as I said, don't hit a bug, don't harm an animal, a cat that is passing or a dog that is going around in the neighborhood, or even the gecko on the wall, just let it be. So it starts from us as kids, going to the beach, going to the garden, exploring, connecting with nature. Since we are little kids, it will grow with you. If you grow up and become an engineer, then you will bring items of this love for nature into your work as well. And that's why we have human development and human advancement is because we learned from nature and from the environment.
That's correct.
So it all starts from the beginning.
Obaid, our final question, and this is the question that we're asking everybody in this season of Naturally Educated. And once again, it's your ideas, your perspective, really. I'm wondering what you think of the importance of the steps that the UAE is taking. And you've mentioned some of these from a policy perspective, but the steps that the country's taking to ensure ecosystem restoration efforts and to provide that kind of, you know, healthy environment for future generation. Just your thoughts.
Personally, I think when I go internationally into international conventions and meet other countries, like recently I was in Zimbabwe joining the Ramsar, which is the Convention on Wetlands conference, and I met just a random person walking around the conference venue who said, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from the United Arab Emirates." And they looked at us like, "Why are you here? Do you have wetlands? You have only deserts. You have big cities." So I think those actions where this random stranger I saw in a very remote place, and then I had a discussion with them on what the UAE have and what it offers. So I think this is the right way to get the message of what UAE is doing globally. But also locally, when I see all the things that is happening, it's very easy to lose the big picture when you're doing your day-to-day tasks. But when you take a step back and you see the full picture, everyone is working and doing all this incredible work, thousands of people working every day. And that's when you realize that we are here as a generation. We learned from scientists before us and traditional knowledge coming before us about nature and about biodiversity and about science, etc. And we're working into improving it and basically implemented it and increasing this knowledge the most. So we are able to have a sustainable future for our children, our grandchildren, where we can say we came to this earth, we saw the previous knowledge, we improved on it, and we gave you a better planet than what we came and saw. So I think that is the most important thing.
Obaid Shamsi is the head of Marine Biodiversity Section at the Ministry of Climate Change and Environment here in the UAE. Obaid, it's been a pleasure to have you here on Naturally Educated.
Thank you for having me.
The power of biodiversity in restoring ecosystems today on Naturally Educated. And a huge thanks to our second guest from the UAE's Ministry of Climate Change and Environment too.
Thanks once again to Obaid Shamsi. Obaid is the head of Marine Biodiversity Section at the Ministry and an all-around good guy too.
Yes, he knows his stuff, that's for sure, Abdurrahman. I get that it's is a huge topic to cover in half an hour, 40 minutes or so, the power of Mother Nature. But what stood out for you in today's conversation? What struck you?
Gosh, what did not strike me? I mean, the conversation was just so interesting and I was so captivated. I have to say, I'm going to steal this from you for sure. The fact that he mentioned this carpet, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
And every thread, and you know, he just made it so relatable.
It was, wasn't it? It was so easy to understand. That's what I liked about that. It's just the way he said, right? Imagine a carpet, and I immediately looked down. That's what made me laugh. I kind of looked down at the floor, but pulling strands from a carpet, and the carpet unravels, and that's the nature balance.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I was reflecting on that, you know, what if you just have a plain carpet with no colors?
That's a good point. Maybe that's a degraded ecosystem. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure he meant the beautiful, you know, colorful carpets that look like a painting, basically. Which is what nature is, after all.
Well, that's the thing. And you mentioned the word again. It's something that's come up, I mean, throughout the kind of seasons of Naturally Educated, the mosaic, the way everything fits together, all the different colors, pieces, sizes.
Yeah, that's super interesting. You know, anything else, Tim, that stood out to you?
There is actually, there's one more thing. And I'd always thought that, and this is, and I, he corrected me, rightly, he corrected me as well. Mm. I said, look, you know, what about the threat of invasive species? It's something we've talked about before. And I said, I know it's not a huge issue here in the UAE. That was my impression. Mm. And he said, well, no, actually, it's something we look at really carefully. And he mentioned parakeets. He mentioned minor birds as a specific example. The way they mimic to kind of draw you in to give them food, and it threatens the balance. I thought that was also really interesting.
Indeed. I guess maybe you get used to these species because you see them often in different parts of the UAE, but in reality, they're considered an invasive species.
Exactly. I mean, they're like me. They're not from here.
we will take you as our own. All right, then. Before we go, I just wanted to mention and to remind everyone that it is the IUCN World Conservation Congress in Abu Dhabi this year. So, Tim, don't forget, okay?
Absolutely not.
And that's our episode for today, The Power of Biodiversity in Restoring Ecosystems. I am Abdurrahman Al-Zaabi.
And I'm Tim Elliott. Make it a date to join us again very soon for more in Season 5 of the Environment Agency Abu Dhabi's podcast, Naturally Educated.